Well, it's good to have him back, even though he hasn't been on yet. It's kind of a short story, long story. I had Rich Meyer come in a little while ago, and we did an interview with him about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and I don't know what happened to it. It disappeared. So we're bringing Rich back. Rich is with the UPBSRO, and I'll let you tell him. I'll let him tell you what it is. How you doing, Rich?
Good. The UPBSRO is a group I founded back in 2012 or 2013. I was looking for something that was specific to the UP for Bigfoot and Sasquatch sightings and couldn't find anything. So I started my own.
So Upper Peninsula Bigfoot Sasquatch Research
Organization.
And you've been with that for how long, you said?
2012 or 2013 is when I started.
And we talked about this on our last interview, which nobody got to hear. But what got you interested in doing this?
What got me into Bigfoot was I was, after my dad had passed away, I was watching Finding Bigfoot on TV, talking to my mom on the phone, and she'd mentioned that my dad loved it.
No kidding.
And then from there, it led into a conversation of, well, you know, that's why he had you in the woods the entire time you were growing up, as he was looking for something. He always said there's something else out there. He never said it was Bigfoot. He never said what it was. He just always said there was something else out there. So I started to think about it, and I thought, well, you know, we did do a lot of fishing in remote areas and a lot of hunting in remote areas. And then I started to put things together and thought, all right, that's what we were doing. We were out looking for Bigfoot.
And you don't recall ever seeing anything or hearing anything strange in all that time?
Nothing that I would have gone, hey, that was a Bigfoot. But when October bow hunting downstate, when I was sitting in a tree stand on a perfectly calm day and I hear trees crash, I hear knocks in the woods. After sitting and thinking about it, I started to put all these little incidents together, and I went, okay, that doesn't make sense for anything else to have done it.
Right. So you're a believer. You believe they absolutely exist.
I do. I am a firm believer.
You've never seen one.
I have not seen one close up. I have found tracks. I've heard wood knocks. I've heard whoops. I've heard screams and howls. I've seen eye shine.
When you say eye shine, what do you mean by that?
Eye shine is different than eye glow. Eye glow would be like if you were out shining for deer and it's the light reflecting back off the animal's eyes. Eye shine is when it's void of all outside light sources and you see light come from the eyes.
Is it red?
The eye shine that I saw was red.
Because that's what I've heard. And I'm a believer, by the way, too, so you're not talking to a non-believer. I've never seen it, but I think they've been around me. And I know people, really good friends of mine, people I truly trust that I know are not making it up, that have had experiences with Sasquatch. So what do you think they're here? What are they doing? What are they?
I'm a firm believer they're a flesh and blood animal. That they've, or different type of human, they've evolved alongside of us, so they know how dangerous we are. That's why they try to avoid us.
And they've chosen to stay in the woods, and we've chosen to get out of the woods.
Correct.
And you know, people think that the only place you find Sasquatch is in, they'll kind of put in California or like where all the trees over in Oregon and. But they're all over the place, aren't they?
Yeah, they're worldwide. That's the Yeti, the urine, same thing, just a different name for it in a different place.
The swamp, what is that one down in Georgia or Florida? Don't they have a swamp?
Florida is a swamp ape. It's usually a little smaller, but as you get warmer and warmer temperatures, animals and people both get smaller.
So how many investigations have you been on where you've gone out in the field?
Where I've gone in the field, I personally don't keep track of them, but I would say in the last 5 to 6 years, well over 50 to 60.
And how often do you feel that people actually saw something?
Most of the reports I've done, it's you can feel and see the emotion in the people's face and hear it when they talk to you. So most of them have been real. Usually I can weed out the ones that are fake on the phone.
Do you think some people do it just to get attention?
Some do. With working with the BFRO, and they're the ones that helped with the Animal Planet TV show, we get a lot of kids that'll report something. But that's because they want to meet Bobo, or they want to they want to be part of a TV show.
Tell me a little bit, because I've watched Finding Bigfoot. It's entertaining, but and I think what I really like about the show is the fact that when they have the town hall meetings and people share their stories, that seems genuine. When they go out and make all this noise in the woods, and then every little noise, it's a squatch, you know, and I think it could be a coyote, you know. What do you think of that part of it? Is that just production?
The biggest thing to remember with the TV show is that it is a TV show. It's there for entertainment purposes. As far as the things they do on the show, yes, we do some of that as well as legitimate researchers. It's not all, but we don't go into the field with a production crew behind us of 17 people and lights and everything else. So
if you find that if you do hit a tree with a stick or something, sometimes you get something to hit back, right?
Yeah, you'll get responses back.
And what about when you make the calls?
I've gotten responses back to whoops, where you just go whoop.
And just a real short whoop.
Just a real short whoop like that, usually much louder.
And then what about the longer calls that we see on that program?
The calls like the Ohio Howl, things like that, they have gotten responses. I've never personally gotten a response to that, but.
Okay. So these Sasquatch, Bigfoot make more than one type of response, don't they?
Yeah, they're highly intelligent, so they have a way of communicating without always using the same type of communication. Sometimes it's rock clack, sometimes it's tree knock, sometimes it's a whoop or a whistle or a howl.
Okay. And even people have heard like chatter, like have they heard like a monkey sounding?
Yeah, there's what's called samurai chatter, which was actually recorded in California at one point in time in the Sierra Nevada mountains.
And is that, do you think, Sasquatch related?
I do. I've heard a lot of the reports that I get up here are, I'll have people say, we're in the woods and it sounded like two grumpy old men walking through the woods on the opposite side of a ridge from me.
Really?
And just murmuring back and forth.
Wow. That's interesting, because I don't think I've ever heard that one, the murmuring thing. It's funny what you can learn. You also said something about, we talked about this the last time we did the interview, when you're around these things or something is going on, that if you're recording something or your devices lose power?
We've had that happen where you'll be recording, you'll have a infrared camera with you and you're kind of searching through the woods because you think you heard something or whatever is going on, and all of a sudden you'll lose all battery power. We've had voice recorders go from fully charged to dead. We've had video cameras do it.
And what do you think is causing that?
The best thing I can relate it to is with ghost hunters. Ghost hunters have the same thing happen when they're somewhere.
That spirit activity, we kind of know it's electrical energy. Of course, you know we're all energy too.
Yep.
And maybe they know how to harness that.
They may be able to tap into it way better than we can.
We talked about this too the last time, because I really feel that these beings, they are very psychic. And they know what we're about before we step in the woods. Do you feel that as well?
I do. There's a gentleman from Illinois that came on one of our expeditions with us, has a son that's autistic. And being highly functioning autistic, he doesn't lie because he can't. It's not programmed into him.
Right.
His son has gone on other expeditions and been able to do what they call mind speak with the Bigfoots.
And what did the Bigfoot tell him?
It wasn't so much what he could tell them. It was what he could tell the people that were on the expedition with him. It was, there's a Bigfoot on the other side of the ridge, and if we knock once, he's going to knock back twice, and it would happen. And he's not here. he's not angry with us. He's not here to cause any problems. He's just here to observe.
Hmm.
And he would get feelings back and forth that if they needed to move out of an area or move things like that.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I think psychics, you have a psychic in your crew too, right?
Yes, we do.
And so you find that maybe that gives you an advantage? You can sense some things?
I don't know that it gives us any kind of an advantage. And the other thing is, none of us in my group call ourselves Bigfoot experts, because if we were experts, we would know exactly what they are.
You would
have that
one
concrete proof.
Except the government won't let you keep it. That's my theory. That this is why people always say, well, if there's such a thing as Sasquatch and Bigfoot or UFOs, how come there's no evidence? And it's like, because if you had it, if it's anything like what you see with other things that are out there, it disappears. And it disappears. You know, here's a good example. We talked about this as well. Linda Godfrey is a researcher. She researches anything. But yeah, really, hers is the dog man, man wolf. And she told me she was out doing a research event, and they were out at night and they were filming things, and they thought they captured something on camera, and they took out the videotape, which I'm guessing they're using videotape then, and they put it and locked it away in their van, and they went back out to see if they could see more. They thought they had spotted something running away, and when they went back to the van a couple hours later, this was gone. And I believe somebody, a human being, probably has been keeping an eye on them and showed up and made it disappear. And you hear about that with people that have had UFO contact, that generally the Men in Black, which is not just a movie, which are actual beings that will show up, mysterious type beings, will show up and they will seize something if you have it, or they will scare the heck out of you or confuse the heck out of you. And so I think that could happen. You think that would happen maybe if you found something with Sasquatch?
It's quite possible. I mean, there's maps from the early 40s and 50s in Washington and Oregon where the Army Corps of Engineers has pictures of Bigfoot on it and Bigfoot habitat.
Really?
But then the government says, no, there's no such thing as Bigfoot.
So they're covering up for a reason. Why would they do that? Why would they cover up all these things? And to me, my answer would be, they've been lying to us for a long, long time. And not just our government. The whole world has been lying about a lot of things. Our history is not what we think it is. The events that happened are not what we think it is. In some ways, what Ancient Aliens talks about, there might be some truth in that. And so this might topple a lot of the religions, just a lot of the beliefs out there that they don't want us to. I mean, what is your answer for that, Rich?
I don't know why they would want to keep it quiet, other than with where we are now as a society. If everybody remembers what happened with the snowy owl in Maine and the logging industry, think of what would happen if we were to bring proof that Bigfoot lives in the woods.
So then you're saying that people would not, lumber companies and...
There would be huge restrictions on where you can cut wood and what wood you can cut and everything else, then affects paper and business and everything else.
There could be some of that. And I also believe that, like I said, I think there's a lot of hidden truths going back even thousands of years right up here about ancient archaeology that they discovered that there was copper mining going back several 7,000 years. And it was from Europe that people were coming here and removing our copper because it was the purest in the world.
Yep.
And they found evidence of Celtic spears and Celtic prayer stones. There was one story about one being at the near Gwyn. There was a Celtic prayer stone found there. So imagine if that was the truth, how much history would have to change.
Oh yeah, history would make a big change.
So anyway, let's talk about some of the incidents, if you don't mind, that you've heard about. I'm guessing there's many, but some of the more that you felt had a little more evidence to them, or just strange, scary, wonderful stories that you can share with.
Well, the most recent one we have going on is at the Days River hiking trails right outside Gladstone. We have people that go out there and absolutely nothing happens. We have other people that go out and they feel like they're being watched. They feel like there's something pushing them out of the woods. We've been out there and been paced alongside of the trail, so we're walking and we hear something inside the woods walking with us. You can hear the footsteps, hear the sticks break. You stop, and if you're quick enough and stop as a group, you'll sometimes catch whatever it is off guard, and it'll take one or two more steps. So we've had that happen out there. I've heard calls out there. I have not been able to record one of the calls yet, though.
Do you think he's deliberately just messing with you?
I don't know if it's messing with Sasquatch or if Sasquatch messing with us.
That's what I'm saying. You think Sasquatch, he says, oh, he's got a device, he's going to record me. I don't think I'm going to let him today.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that or just that there's sometimes where I go out there and you'll get a different feel when you walk in the woods. And it's like, oh, all right, I don't feel like anything's going on today. And then you'll get halfway in and you're just far enough away not to turn around. And that's when things happen.
What are some of the most remarkable things that you witnessed doing this? You said you thought you saw something?
Probably the most remarkable thing is the eye shine that I saw.
And you saw that, when was that?
That was in Wisconsin 3 years ago. We were hiking. Well, actually, it wasn't really hiking because we were on a two-track logging road. And we had went down one side of a valley, up the other side, into a big clearing. The whole group of us met up together, and then we walked back out. And as we walked back out and turned around, we were watching that clearing we were just standing in. So we knew there was nothing over there. And that's when I saw what I believe is eye shine.
How high up? Could you tell how tall this thing was, maybe just by seeing the eye shine?
Because it was the side of a hill that I was looking at, I couldn't really estimate how high it was. But at the distance we were at, I would put it probably 9 to 12 inches apart between the eyes would be.
Boy, that's a pretty big head. Yeah. 9 to 12 inches. That's a foot.
Yep.
How tall are these? You know, I've heard reports that they're generally 8 feet or taller. How tall have the reports that you've heard?
The reports that I've gotten in the UP generally range from 6 to 9 feet.
Okay. So, and some of those could be human beings, possibly?
Could be.
But they're usually, humans are not that hairy.
Right.
Is there a smell, too, with these animals?
There is a smell associated. People have described it as skunky, mixed with BO, mixed with rotting flesh. And it just has to do with being in the woods and being an opportunistic eater and eating roadkill or killing an animal and eating it or eating choke cherries and blueberries.
And they probably don't take a lot of showers, do they?
I wouldn't assume they would take an actual shower.
Unless they're going on a date, maybe. Then maybe they want to clean it.
They may fall in a river or a lake trying to catch fish, though. So.
Well, I'm sure that they wade through those things as well. So you told me the last time we talked that there's a couple of different theories within the Bigfoot research group. What are the theories that this, where this being it comes from, or that it's maybe, what are those theories?
There's all kinds of theories. The main three theories are the one that I believe, which is it's a flesh and blood being that's evolved alongside of us. There's the theory that it is an alien creature that was dropped off by aliens to observe and report back. And then there's the idea that it is a interdimensional being where it can walk in and out of dimensions and appear and disappear.
That's kind of where I lean on that, because I've heard a lot of stories from people I trust. Not a lot, but I've heard a few. And one friend of mine told me he saw one walk right into a tree and be gone. And other people have said that they just disappeared. So even if they're multidimensional beings, I still believe they could be flesh and blood. They just know the secret of opening the doorways.
Yep.
And you know, you look at the Dog Man and Man Wolf, and Linda Godfrey believes that's kind of what happens with that, because it's not around all the time, and then it just shows up. And she also said, and you're familiar with that a little bit, but she said it seemed to be adjacent to where the Sasquatch sightings, people also had these Dogman sightings. So that's a weird coincidence.
Yeah, it's almost like they're territorial.
Yeah.
We have a spot that I've got a guy that's got a 15-year stretch of Dogman sightings. And he's like, it's not Bigfoot. He said, it is definitely Dogman.
It's around here?
Yep, it's within an hour of here.
There was a guy up that lived up towards Cornell that used to talk about... You know who I'm talking about? There was a fellow that said he had werewolves, and people kind of laughed at him. And at the time, this was years ago that I heard this, I didn't know anything about the dog man or the man wolf. And I was kept an open mind, but I'm thinking, why is he going around, you know, telling this? This was an intelligent man, they said, and he lived out towards Cornell. And he would live, actually, the story I heard is that he didn't live downstairs. He shut off all his downstairs, and he lived upstairs. And he said, these werewolves are out there all the time. And I don't want to, yeah.
The listeners can't see it, but I'm kind of giggling to myself. And the reason is, right after I started my organization, I was working part-time at an auto parts store, putting a battery in for a guy. It's right around rifle season, and I had asked the question, hey, how are you doing during hunting season? He's like, you know, I hunt up between Cornell and Gwynn, and, you know, we'd be doing a lot better if that big furry thing would get out of the woods. Not knowing what he was talking about and being interested in Bigfoot, I asked, what big furry thing are you talking about? He's like, oh, there's this big hairy thing that runs through the woods up there, and it just, when it's around, the deer aren't. And it, for the last couple of years, it's been around, and we haven't been able to see any deer. And I talked to him a little longer, and he didn't really want to give me a full description of it, but it was 7.5 feet tall, and walked like a man, but wasn't a man.
So, and this is before you really started your group, you said, right?
It was right after I started the group, and I hadn't told this guy that I was part of it.
Interesting. You know, there's things I've heard my whole life, and I wish that I would have paid more attention to some of those when I was younger. I do now. I mean, the last 15 years or so, I really try to pay attention when anybody tells me anything. Because, you know, at first it might seem outrageous. Now, I've also heard, and there's a woman by the name of Lisa Scheel. She's out of Houghton, not quite Houghton, but over in that direction. She lives out in kind of a remote area, kind of a ghost town area, actually. And she lives, they have like, I don't know how many acres, 40, 80, 120. They have a lot of land. She lives out there with her parents. But she wrote Backyard Bigfoot and some other books. And she claims that there's evidence, or at least there's many eyewitnesses that have seen UFO people or Sasquatch around UFOs, have even seen them in the UFOs. Have you ever heard anything like that?
I have not. Not locally, but from reports, because I follow reports nationwide, and some of the reports, there'll be reports of a Bigfoot running up a mound, and then at the top of the mound, like a beam of light will pull them up into a ship, or there'll be, one night there was lights in the swamp, and the next night there was a Bigfoot sighting.
So this might support the theory that they are somehow connected to another race that's out there.
Yep.
And well, I think they're multidimensional. I think maybe they could have been, in just speculation, maybe they could have been created by another race. Maybe all of us could have been created by other races that have come here. And maybe we all came from other planets of origin. But, you know, the natives always say that they are like the guardians of the woods. Well, if we have another race that was here from another planet, they could have put them there as part of that.
The what supports them being around as long as we have or longer is there's a place called the Painted Rock or Painted Caves in California, and it has pictures of daily life from the Native Americans, and they have pictures of beavers and bears and deer, and then there's a picture of Bigfoot, or as they call him, Hairy Man. And then the same thing. So they were just drawing pictures of daily life, and they're drawing pictures of Bigfoot. It's not like they went, oh, we should draw something that looks like us. It's, we saw this, so we drew it.
You know, if you go back in the newspapers to the 19th century, and maybe the early 20th century, because that's what Lisa did for one of her books, Lisa Scheel. She just took stories that were related, and some of those, you know, back then the press, there was no, like it is now, if somebody were to see something, even the local press might kind of hem and haw a little bit. They just reported what people saw. There was no filter. And so there were more than one stories from the UP going back to the 19th century, late part of the 19th century, talking about a big, tall, hairy, stinking, mannish type being. And this was seemed to be just something that they, you know, it was reported and people didn't think twice of it, you know.
Right.
Nowadays, it's almost like there's, I mean, things are changing. But, you know, it seems like the press definitely doesn't want to bring these things up, does it?
It, most media treats it as a joke. They don't treat it as an actual news story. They treat it as, here's something funny to stick in as filler.
Yeah, and I think it's deliberate, to be honest. I mean, maybe not the people that are working at that particular moment, but I think the networks, especially the bigger networks, you're always going to get a more honest approach from a local organization, a smaller town, especially. The smaller the town, I think the greater truth you're going to get from a news outlet, because there's an agenda. And I think they're told, somebody once told me, and I don't remember who this was, it was a friend of mine, and I don't know how they knew this. They knew some people within the network news, and they said there's a couple of things you don't talk about if you're in the network news. And one of them was, I don't remember what one of them was. I remember what the other one was, because they said it was UFOs. You never bring up UFOs. We do not cover it, and if we do, we make light of it. And that is an agenda, because they were told that they cannot do that. And I'm guessing that's the same with Sasquatch and all these other things that are out there that people witness.
Yeah, it seems to be that way with anything paranormal now.
They want to keep us from knowing, and that's what makes me want to know more. It's like, okay, I believe there's something here, and something is going on. Too many people have told me even before I really started looking at this seriously, there was a guy that used to work for my DJ service years ago, and he told me he was out in the woods of Ohio, some small area, remote area. He was making out with his girlfriend, and they look over, and looking in the window was a big Sasquatch. And she screamed, or they both screamed, and this thing went, ah, as well, and it took off running. Except it was the big, long gate, you know, that it had behind it. So, you know, there was a time that people maybe didn't talk about this as much, but I think as we have a group like you, people are getting less afraid, and this TV show has probably helped a lot.
The TV show has helped tremendously. A lot of the stigma that used to be associated with Bigfoot sightings and hearing things in the woods has gone away.
If somebody is out in the woods, what are certain things they should look for if they think that maybe something is contacting them? What are signs and things?
Tree breaks, tree structures. You have to kind of look them up so that you can see what they look like before you can decide if you have one or not.
Okay.
Most of the time with like a tree structure, it'll be trees that are taken and interwoven in between. Or if you're in an area where there's no birch trees and all of a sudden you find a birch tree that's upside down, that's interwoven into some pines and cedars, obviously something carried that in there. It didn't just show up upside down. So you look for things like that are out of place.
What do they do? You know, I watched that. What the heck's the name of the guy that goes off by himself there?
Les Stroud.
Les Stroud, and he was doing a search for Bigfoot, and they showed about where they bend the branches.
Yep, where they make arches. And
is that meant to mark their territory?
It could be meant as a way to mark territory. It could be meant as a roadmap.
Mm.
So there's a story of a trapper that had tree breaks along a trap line, and as he followed the trap line, he was watching, and all of the trees were busted off at a certain angle and pointing in the same direction. When he trapped to, we'll say, the left side of it, nothing messed with his traps. Everything was fine. He got animals. When he trapped to the right side of that, he would find his traps mangled and bent and turned and pulled out of the ground and piled up.
Hmm.
Almost like they were saying, this is your side. This is our side. You stay off our side.
What about that incident? Did you, you were telling me about, was it the Patterson film?
The Patterson-Gimlin film, yeah.
That took place in when, 1967?
That was 1967, yeah.
Two guys, well, was it two men that went out?
Yep, two men, Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin.
That's probably the most famous footage, I'm guessing, of of a Sasquatch.
It's 51 years old, and it is the best proof that we have of Sasquatch.
And you believe that that's legit?
I 100% believe it's legit.
I look at that film, and I watched him break it down, and the muscle tone, and just somebody could not dress up, especially back then. Maybe nowadays with the special effects, I don't know, but you look at that and you go, that is a real animal, humanoid, that is walking just by, you can tell by the way the structure is. So you got to meet one of these men?
Yes, I got to meet Bob Giblin.
And Bob Giblin, who was the one that was closest in filming it? Was it Bob?
No, Roger Patterson is actually the one that did the filming, and Bob was with him, and he had grabbed the other horse and was standing there with his rifle.
Oh, okay. So how both these guys were fairly close?
They were. I believe it's within 20 yards is where it starts.
Wow.
So.
And this thing didn't go racing away. That's what's funny about it. Because
no,
normally...
It just calmly walked away and turned back to check them out and continued on walking.
And I would think because it knew and it has this ability to sense who we are.
Right.
So if they want to avoid us, they can. And if we do see them, maybe sometimes they allow themselves to be seen by certain people.
And that's one of the stories from different native tribes that I've heard is you're only going to see a Sasquatch or Bigfoot when you need to. So before a life-changing event, or if you've got someone that's going to pass away or just has just passed away, is when you'll see them.
Sometimes they'll show up for that.
Yep.
And what did this man, what is his name again? I'm sorry.
Bob Giblin.
Bob Giblin. What did he tell you about?
Well, when I met Bob, it was at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. And everyone else was walking up to him and just inundating him with questions about Bigfoot and about the film and everything else. Well, Bob and I share something in our past that we could talk about that's not Bigfoot related. He was a rodeo rider. I also participated in rodeo. I rode bulls in a rodeo when I was in high school. So I went up to him and I started talking rodeo with him, which then later led into the Bigfoot conversation and everything else. He is by far the most genuine person I've ever met.
What did you take away from that conversation?
What I took away from it is his friend asked him to go look for Bigfoot with him because there were reports and sightings and everything else in the area they were at near Bluff Creek. And they were out there on horseback, and they came around a blind corner, and that's when Patty, as they call the Bigfoot in that film now, stood up and started to walk away from them.
And normally that's not the case when people witness something. It's kind of is at a distance, and it might even try to hide or run away from them.
Right, or they'll catch it at a distance looking back at them.
And a lot of times they kind of bluff you and try to scare you a little bit sometimes.
There's definitely some intimidation tactics that Bigfoots use.
They throw rocks?
They've been known to throw rocks.
Heaps
and stumps.
Of rocks. Do you know if anybody's ever been injured by...
Actually, I recently read an article from 1965 about the Monroe Monster, as they called it, down in Monroe, Michigan, where a woman and her mother were in a car, and the Bigfoot reached to the window and bounced the girl's head off her steering wheel. But
wow.
That is the only time, and obviously if it's that close and could do that, if it wanted to cause a lot more harm, it could have.
Probably could have rolled the car right over.
Probably.
Because if they're 8 feet tall, they got to weigh, weigh a lot. And then there's reports that they're even taller than that. And what is the difference between the Yeti? Because aren't the Yetis, don't they say that they're white?
Yep. The Yetis are white, but I would guess that has to do with their surroundings. Because even deer, if you look at a deer that is in cornfields all the time, it's a lighter color than what you would call a swamp buck.
So it's just part of a nature kind of, that's what I thought. And, you know, I was going to tell you about this, and I think I did the last time. There was a woman from Lower Michigan, Petoskey, no, maybe not that area, but somewhere in the northern part of Lower Michigan. She said she was out with her husband, and they saw a white Sasquatch in the wintertime going through the woods. And she went over there to look, and he was gone, and it was just a moment. And she said she only saw one track in the snow, which is kind of bizarre. You think you'd see... And I said, how come you only saw one? And she said, that's all he let me see. And so is it possible that this white Sasquatch in the middle of winter was white because, like, a rabbit maybe changes color?
I don't think they change color with
winter.
With winter and summer and season changes. I think it's more of an age thing.
Saw an old Sasquatch.
So she saw an old Sasquatch, yeah.
He's probably just going to get his meds. I got to go down there and get some meds. What are you kids looking at? Get off my lot property. So it's interesting. You know, I believe that they may be connected to an alien race. And we probably all are, I believe, have descended. And this is maybe explains the contact, why people have seen them with UFOs and things like that. Lisa even talked about how people have seen them on board a ship flying in there. Now, how freaky would that be if you saw that, huh? There's a Sasquatch. But I told you the story about a guy that doesn't live too far from where I live out in Wilson, Michigan. And his wife talked to me about this. And I was going to interview him for my show, but he never did agree to do so. And I don't obviously want to push people to do something they don't want to do. But she claimed that he would go hunting, and he loved to hunt. And he would get out. I don't know how far he is from where his home is, but it's kind of remote where I live out there. And especially if you go further out, and he would go out to his blind, and on the way out there, he would see a big, hairy, tall humanoid thing, and there would be lights, these lights all around him. And he didn't think twice of it because he just wanted to go hunt. But if somebody went with him, that maybe he was, I don't know if they were taking like a kid, his kid or whatever. If they saw that, they booked it right back but it answers part of it that, you know, maybe there's some truth in that there are lights. What were these lights that were around him? Where was that from? Yeah.
And I still haven't seen anything.
You haven't talked to anybody.
I haven't seen anybody or talked to anybody or seen reports where there's lights around the Bigfoot.
What about orbs? I've heard that orbs are sometimes seen.
I have taken reports where people have pictures of orbs and then they'll see a Bigfoot, or there'll be pictures of orbs in a few frames off of a trail cam, and then something that could be a Bigfoot, because it's usually out too far for the trail cam to focus on it.
Funny how it's out too far. It's like it knows, you're not getting my picture.
Well, there's that theory that they can see into the IR spectrum. So, and that's one of the things we had some people that wanted some activity to stop around their house. And the biggest things I know to stop Bigfoot activity are trail cams and white lights. So they put up some lights, and the lights were being pushed straight up into the air. Like something would walk by and push it up so that it couldn't shine down where it was anymore. So they put trail cams up. And after going through 700-ish pictures of trail cam pictures that I thought there was nothing in, I sat back further and looked at it. And I was finding pictures of sticks and rocks flying through the air. And I think what was happening is they can see into the IR spectrum, and they were throwing rocks to trigger the camera to figure out, all right, that's where the camera triggered. So we can marking off their boundary where they could walk to get around the camera.
And of course, they're doing this for a reason, right?
Yep. There was 55-gallon drums of dog food on the people's porch. And the dog food would disappear in 3 days. And they're like, our dogs don't eat that much.
Where was this?
So this was up towards Segula.
Wow. And they're smart enough to know what these trail cams are. They have to be reading our thoughts. And then they know that they don't want their picture on there, right?
That's the way it seems, is they know that they don't want to be.
And they don't want their picture on there because it would draw more attention, or they're just not ready to show themselves.
That could be that.
Yeah. I think there will come a day when we will learn about these things. And we have to change as a group, as a species. Instead of, nothing against people that like to hunt, but sometimes I think people don't do it for the right reason.
Right.
And we just kill for the sake of killing. You know, if it's to feed your family, that's one thing. Some people say, well, it's a sport. Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm that's fine. But, I mean, for me, that's not a reason to... all life should be honored as much as possible, the way I look at it. And I think there are animals out there that are willing to give their life so that we can maintain ours. I think, you know, there's a story about a deer that I heard years ago, a few years back. A guy was hunting, and he was... he had never, I think, shot a buck before. And he was out somewhere, I don't know, was not in this area. And this he was in a thick area, and this big deer went through, big buck. And the buck had walked too far past where he could get a clean shot. And he thought, boy, if he just would back up. And the deer just, like on command, backed up. And I've had experiences with deer myself. And I really think that there's a divine connection with all of that, you know, that it will assist us. And I think this is the same thing that Sasquatch taps into, is this divine intelligence, divine connection or whatever, that we as regular beings don't have the ability to do anymore. But there are people that do, that live here, that are psychic, that can tap into these things. I like how you brought up the autistic person, because they don't have what we have, do they?
They're wired differently than us, is the easiest way to
yeah.
put it.
And so you see that many wonderful things probably happen for them. As much as some people think that they have things in life that are difficult, but they're also, in some ways, more gifted than the rest of us are.
Yep.
So what are some other sightings, or maybe not sightings? Have there been actual physical sightings that you know of?
Yep, there's one of the very first reports I did for the BFRO was just south of town, just south of Escanaba, for those that aren't familiar with where we're at. So just south of Escanaba on M35, a couple was picking up a car from the shop and driving it back home. So they're in two separate cars on their way home. And the wife passed something in the ditch. The husband also passed it, and as soon as they got to their home, they both got out of the car and looked at each other and said, "What was that?" And it was, when they reported it to me, it was something on two legs standing roughly 6.5 to 7 feet tall in the ditch alongside of a tree. I went out to where they had seen it, and I had gotten the report and luckily got on it within 3 days. So there wasn't a whole lot that could have changed or happened. So I went out with them, had them show me where it was. I stood in the ditch for a size comparison, and they said I was much shorter, much smaller across the shoulders.
How tall are you?
I am roughly 5'8"-ish. So as I'm standing there in the ditch, I'm looking for footprints, and I found what could have been prints, but it was underwater, so they're not castable. They didn't take, I could take pictures, but it looked like I was taking pictures of a ditch full of water, and you couldn't really get any kind of definition out of them. But as I was looking at the tree, I found sticks that were twisted and broke and pointed up the tree. Now, when you twist and break a stick, it points down the tree.
And why would that be?
Why would it point down the
tree?
Why
would they
gravity?
No, why would they point it upwards?
I don't know why they were pointing the broken sticks upwards, but I actually took pictures of them, and they're attached to the report on the BFRO website.
So if somebody wants to check out your website, what is that?
My Facebook page is facebook.com/UPBSRO, and then the BFRO's website is BFRO.net.
And you can go to, because I went there, and you can go to every state and every region, every county.
Yep.
And I was looking at, like, Delta County, where we're in right now. There was, like, 9 reports.
Yep.
Something like that. And then some of these other counties. You know, you think some of these really remote counties, there'd be a lot more. But they're remote, so they're probably people, not as many people there.
Yeah, because they're remote counties, we don't get as many reports out of them, because you need two things to get a Bigfoot sighting. You need a Bigfoot, and you need somebody to report it.
Yeah. Someone that's not a Bigfoot to report it. Because yeah. Chances are a Bigfoot's not going to, hey, I just spotted myself. Look at that. I'm going to tell people. You know, it just seems like they're definitely trying to avoid us, and they're smart enough to know. And I think it has to be a psychic link to when we're carrying cameras or whatever the case, they're not going to show themselves. Maybe you have a better chance if you don't carry anything that can record them as far as evidence.
I'm thinking about going to a lot of older technology. I'm thinking about getting an actual 35 millimeter camera to take in the woods with me instead of a digital camera.
That's what those two guys for the Patterson film
I
had.
Believe they had an 8 millimeter camera is what
millimeter,
they used.
Like a Super 8 one?
Yep, is that what like a Super 8 or something like that.
So it's like they had to be carrying that camera, and maybe this is the first encounter that a Sasquatch had with somebody carrying that. Now, I'm sure they went and told each other. Now, do you think they go in groups of families, or are they solo? Or
I think it's mostly family groups. When you catch a solo one, it's probably the sentinel or the protector that watches. Most of our activity is usually nocturnal, so when you get one in the middle of the day, it's the one that's out gathering for everybody else.
And, you know, there's been reports that some people have said that they're like, there's a whole... Any idea of how many might be in a group?
I have no idea.
No reports on that?
No reports on that. And there's... To try and estimate a population of them is just a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
So...
But, I mean, you think you look at all the reports all over the place. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
And every state has them, don't they?
Every state except for Hawaii has reports.
Yeah, they didn't swim out there, apparently.
Right.
But who knows? Hawaii's probably got their own strange things.
Hawaii has reports of other strange phenomenon that goes on.
Isn't that amazing? It's everywhere. And then I'm watching programs where they talk about the Philippines, and they have some kind of strange creature out there that people are afraid of. And so there's a lot in this world that we just don't know about, and I'm open to all of it. If somebody wants to contact you, what's the best way to go about doing that?
The best way to contact me is right through the Facebook page, and that's actually got my phone number listed on there as well as my email address.
And you'll go out and you do an investigation. What kind of investigation when you say an investigation? Do you record things? Do you talk to the people? Do you record them?
It really depends on the circumstances surrounding what they saw. If it's someone that's willing to be recorded, I will have a voice recorder on the whole time that we're talking to each other. And I do kind of a preliminary interview, and then I'll come out to the site if it's possible. I mean, some of them it's not possible to get to, or some of the reports are too old to where it's...
Yeah.
It's been years have gone by, and they've logged off all the land around it, and it's completely changed. So, but when I can, I get out and I put boots on the ground at anything that I can.
And how many people are in your group?
My group, there are 8 of us now.
And how far do you travel?
We try to stay local to the UP. So from Drummond Island all the way to Ironwood, and from Menominee all the way up into the Keweenaw.
It's a lot of area to cover, isn't it?
It is. But we're all mostly separated out. I've got a guy in Iron River, there's myself in Hermansville, a lady in Rock, or not Rock, in Garden, a lady in Munising, and a guy in Germfask. That's the main group in the UP.
So you're not all together at once doing an investigation. Normally it's just one or two people going out?
Right, it's one or two people, and it kind of depends on where it is. So.
What is the passion that drives these other people? Have they had experiences, some of them maybe?
Yeah, One of them just really fell in love with the idea, and that's why she researches. She hasn't had anything else happen. The other chased the skunk ape in Florida for years before she moved back up to the UP. She originally was up here, lived here, and moved to Florida and came back home, is the way she says it. One guy is a logger that is also a Marine. And he said, I see some weird things when I'm out in the logging machines. I've heard some weird things. And that's how he got involved in it. The other one was, he was a ghost hunter, and now he researches Bigfoot. But on one of his first expeditions with the BFRO, his son had a what they call a Class A sighting, which is no questions about it. What he saw was a Bigfoot.
And it seems like the harder you want that to come forward, like with anything, like spirits, if you really, people say, oh, I'd love to see UFO. And I used to be like that when I was younger. And then it's like, I also think, though, that you can ask for it and it can be given to you. Maybe not everybody is going to be presented, but, you know, I used to always want to see UFOs or even ghosts. And there's a time I just kind of let it go. And then it just kind of happened. And I've seen both of those. And Sasquatch, you know, I told you the story about something that pulled two limbs off a tree. And I looked at that picture again, and it wasn't, there were no apples on it.
Okay.
Because you thought maybe it was a bear. Yep. But it pulled these two limbs that probably were 4 or 5 inches thick. They were dead, but they weren't rotted. And I don't know how high up in the tree they were. And they looked like they were just laid side by side perfectly. And do you think that was possibly...
It's possibly a Bigfoot.
Could have been?
Yep. The when I asked you if there were apples on the tree, it was because of having knowledge of the way bears eat apples off apple branches. And then you said you've looked at the picture since, and there was no apples on the trees, so that takes out a feeding.
It was right around that time, too, that I remember that there's these thick pines that are on the opposite side of my dead-end road. And, you know, there's no houses really around me, but I'm at the beginning of the road, not too far from the highway. And one day I was hearing this clunk, clunk, clunk. I thought, if somebody's chopping wood, they sure are taking their time. And why are they in the middle of all those pine trees? But they don't normally keep hitting like that, right?
They don't normally keep hitting unless, I mean, they may have been trying to get someone or something's attention.
My attention. And then one night, this is all within a 2-week span that this stuff happened. And, you know, I projected the thought that I wanted to see Bigfoot or he'll have some kind of interaction. And I think they picked that up. And maybe they're willing to accommodate as long as I'm not filming them or whatever. So then one night, I'm laying in bed. My wife hadn't come to bed. It's summer, and she goes to bed later than me. And the window's open. And there is something outside the window, and it's like breathing. I could hear it breathing and like just an odd noise. Of course, I was too chicken to get up and go look out the window right next to below the bedroom window, like something was sitting down there. And, you know, maybe it's an overactive imagination, but I've learned that, you know, when you witness things or don't second guess yourself. It's good to be skeptical, right? But maybe it's good also to people that report these things. Have a little faith in what you saw, right?
Yeah. Yeah, always have faith in what you see. I personally, when I see something, when I find a track in the woods, I'm the first person to talk myself out of it being a track.
Yeah.
And then I talk myself right back into it after I look around and put all the pieces together.
You know, for years, paranormal things would happen. I mean, very obvious paranormal things. And I would find a way to excuse them away, I think like a lot of people do, because maybe we're just brought up to think that way. And then it was probably within the last 20 years of my life that I really started to re-examine those things and realize that I did have an experience that was, you can't explain. There was a story on one of these sites, on that BFRO site, about these kids that were maybe 17 years old, and they went camping up by that Days River thing, and from 1 till 4 in the morning they heard the screeches. Did you read that story? That was before you were investigating.
I think that was before I was,
because this happened about 15 years ago or so. But they were young kids. They said they weren't drinking, and they went out there and they heard this noise just get louder and louder, kept going closer. And did you look at that story?
I've read that.
What was your take on that?
So it was, as that noise got closer and closer to them, they were trying to intimidate them out of the area.
So you felt that there was something definitely chasing them out.
Right. I wouldn't say chasing, just a nice nudge.
Yeah. You know, that's the one thing you said, the only time you heard about somebody getting hurt, not even really hurt, but their head got kind of pushed into it, steering wheel. These things could easily kill us in a moment's notice, and they don't do that. And what does that say?
They're not looking for confrontation.
And maybe they have respect.
They have respect for all life, I would say.
Yeah, and I'm sure when they take... What was the story you told me last time you hear about this guy that had all these carcasses? He felt there was a Sasquatch near
him? Oh, I've got a witness that's in the central UP area that has some property, and he showed me pictures of deer carcasses that were all piled up, basically, and all the heads of the deer have chunks out of the back of them where it looks like they were hit with a rock or a big stick.
Well, that's a tough way to do hunting, isn't it?
You would think so.
You'd have to be really stealth.
Either really stealthy, or that leads you into the idea that Bigfoot can zap, is what they call it, the zapping phenomenon.
And what is that?
They either use infrasound or something, or telepathy of some type, where they can make a person or an animal unable to move, basically trapped inside your own body.
That's interesting. That's kind of like what people that have had abductions talk about,
yeah,
or have had a contact with a alien being, which I did actually in 1992, had one of those experiences, and I was not able to move. And I felt he was controlling me with his thoughts. So we all could probably do this, but that would make a lot of sense that Sasquatch could project a thought to you, and he could be standing right there.
Right.
And you don't see him. And then if he wants to get a deer, he just projects something at them, and they kind of freeze, and here I come with my big rock.
Yep.
Or his bare hands.
Right.
Because.
Yep. Yeah, the other idea is that it's infrasound.
And how would that work? Kind of like a dolphin's, yeah, with the way they shoot their sound off things?
With dolphins, also elephants, tigers and lions are known to do it, where elephants will communicate over miles of land through their feet. They'll make these exceptionally low noises that you can't hear, but they can feel them in their feet.
And whales also do that too. I guess they have that noise that can travel thousands of miles.
Yep.
But dolphins, I heard, can stun fish with that. They stun them for a moment.
Yep.
So that makes sense as well. It's interesting. So you're going to keep looking, aren't you?
I am. There's nothing to stop me until I find the answers that I want. So,
would you ever be willing to try to do a drum circle and try to bring them in?
If I had someone that was willing to do it with me, I'd take someone out to do a drum circle.
Okay. Have you tried that at all?
We've had people drum at an expedition, and we had some really weird things happen.
See, that's what I think. You can call them in. I think if you know how, and if your intent is not to, if your intent is just to see them, I think they might be willing to show themselves. So you told me once that you just like to shake their hand.
If I got the chance to walk up to a Bigfoot and shake its hand and walk away, I would love that chance. But I don't know that in my lifetime that any of us are going to get to a point where we can do that with them.
You never know. Maybe as we grow as beings, who knows? We're growing fast now. It seems like there's a lot of changes going on in all of us. So, Rich, it's been real nice to talk to you, and you're welcome back anytime you have any kind of stories you want to tell. I'd love to hear more about them. It's fascinating that there's so many things that people do not talk about. We know of a couple of them because of that show. From up here, there was somebody down in Menominee that had some kind of interaction.
Yep.
And there was a couple of women up in Munising area.
Yep.
Or was it Munising?
Yeah, it was Munising.
And I don't know if they did anybody else up here. Did they cover any other stories?
They covered a couple other ones.
And so, you know, you become aware of those, but how many other people just don't say anything?
Right. Well, and that's one of the things that we do every year is we started a conference 2 years ago. So in our conference this year is going to be August 11th in Munising at the Moose Lodge.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, maybe I'll take a run up.
Yep.
That sounds interesting.
We do our own conference every year, and we set it up where we have a couple speakers come in, and then the second half of it is just like a town hall meeting.
And people share their stories.
Where people can share their stories, don't have to worry about people ridiculing them, because you're with like-minded people then.
Yep, that's the greatest thing about it. Well, thank you very much, Rich Meyer with UPBSRO, for coming back a second time. I got to make sure I don't lose this one. Sasquatch erased the last one, I think.
That could be what it was.
I think he did. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you for having me.